Now, if you can turn to the first of our readings, the two Psalms, 127, 128, and it's the second of those, 128, and the first two verses I'd like to turn your attention to in particular, and under the heading, the blessings of fear, I'd like to apply the text and the words evangelistically. Now, one of the great tragedies of life must be for a person to live in great fear. It's probably not something we do, but there are many, many people in our world who live in the fear of man, that is the fear of violence. It's a constant fear. The menace and the threat that some are under from such as the paramilitaries, gangsters, one sort, one kind or another. There are many others and their fears are perhaps more within themselves, perhaps their irrational fears and phobias, but their great fears and phobias. Some are delusional and have great fear of being pursued or being in great danger and so forth. So it is a tremendous blessing if you live a life without those kinds of fear. However, real life, the fullest life, abundant life, eternal life as God intended it and has given us in Jesus Christ for those that are restored to Him, isn't found in the absence of these kinds of fear, nor indeed in the absence of all fear entirely, for the psalmist tells us there's a fear that needs to be present in a life if it's to be truly blessed. So here is a healthy fear, not life in its fullness in the absence of fear, but indeed with the presence of this blessed fear. Look at what the psalm tells us in 128, first verse. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Without this fear, then, these things are not so. Do you have fears? And to some extent, I suppose we all do. But do we have this fear? This healthy fear? This life-changing, life-enhancing, life-fulfilling fear? Blessed is everyone, without exception, that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. So I want just to look at the kind of fear. What is it? What happens when we don't possess it? And I want to look at that first of all with you. The consequences of the absence of this life-fulfilling, life-giving fear of the Lord that's healthy, that's a blessing, that's a treasure to possess and to have. Well, first of all, the absence of it will mean there will be a disregard or indifference, even disrespect toward God Himself. That's why vast numbers have no regard for God. They have no fear of God. Bible says that's what man now has or has not in his corrupted nature. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The fall has taken this healthy fear of the Lord out of our being. And there is a disregard for God, and commensurate with the distance and the absence, perhaps there's some little remnants in the hearts and souls of individuals. We would expect there to be some where they have had gospel influence, Christian teaching, reading of the scriptures, any understanding of them at all. There may be some regard, something that retards absolute defiance of God. But commensurate with the absence, going as it were from some right down to zero, you will see utter and open defiance of God. That's where our world is headed. That's where many have gone already. Zero regard for God. So they have no fear whatsoever of him. No respect, no reverence. So they can claim he doesn't exist. So they can openly defy his will and his ways. So they can have absolutely no regard for his day, his word, his will. They can live in total defiance of his standards and values. They can trample them into the dirt and into the dust. They can make their own morality, or amorality as it is now. No morality whatsoever. Anything goes. The absence of fear. This is why this is such a blessed thing. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, because there will be a retardation of these things if we have a fear of God at all. There are those who have been influenced through the churches, through the scripture, through godly parents' upbringing and so on, that's kept them back from these things. Thank God for that in any measure. But it's not merely the absence of all fear that brings the blessed life. It's this healthy, healthy fear in its fullness, in its evangelical, in its gospel form. This is gospel fear of God. This is wrought by the Spirit himself. No man can produce this kind of reverence and regard of Almighty God except they're united to Christ, except Christ has procured this blessing for them, unless the Holy Spirit works it within the soul. So there'll be a disregard, indifference, disrespect toward God. Do you find some of that in yourself if you're not converted? Well, perhaps as we continue, it may become a little more evident. Now, some regard this absence of the fear of God as a good thing. You would be taught that out in the world today, wouldn't you? Forget there's a God. This big bogey man that's out there that the Christian church in particular would preach and declare, who'll spoil and ruin your life, who intimidates, who's threatening. It's a good thing if we can dismiss all religion and the idea of God. Let's get rid of him. Why? They would tell us perhaps it's a little bit like, as some naively might say, if we use an illustration, you know, how wonderful it would be to live without the sensation of pain. Well, that sounds appealing. Who wants pain? But imagine if you were totally desensitized, not a nerve ending in your body working, functioning as it ought, and you could feel no pain. Oh, you can imagine some of the children, this would put you into superhero category. I don't feel pain. I could fight anybody. I could endure anything. Well, you would know that's naive in an extreme. Pain is a blessing. Lepers and leprosy brings about cauterization of nerve so that you cannot feel. But imagine the gangrene. Imagine the infections that have been brought. Imagine the millions that were terminally ill with such a disease before there was the realization and the acquired knowledge as to what leprosy can do. What no feeling when you're working away with infections and you can feel nothing. No, it's not smart. That's not a good thing. Have you no healthy fear of God? We're not talking about a cringing, cowering dread. Again, as we mention often, a healthy reverence. Great regard. Acknowledging His majesty, His glory, His purity, His holiness. That ought to bring a measure of fear. But again, we're kind of cauterized from that by the fall. We need that restored in its purest sense. The increase and continuance of sin will be a consequence of the absence of fear. This gospel fear. You know, it was again Abraham. I've mentioned this in the past. Perhaps you recall the text or the verses. It was Abraham that said, I thought there was no fear of God in this place, which is why he pretended Sarah was his sister, not his wife. I thought because there was no fear of God here, that sin prevailed, that you had little or no standards, that I would have no protection, that I'd be just taken out, executed, you'd see Sarah, that would be it. You know, he was right about the absence of fear and its consequence. He just got it wrong that there was no fear there, because we know God came and God spoke to that king. God preserved Sarah, and God showed he can restore, he can place a healthy and a fear of himself in the hearts of man. We need this. We need this to live. Happy indeed shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. That is, if we fear the Lord, if we have this fear. Now I hope you, as I speak, you examine yourself. Do you have this fear of the Lord? Look what else is results and comes as a consequence of this fear being absent in the heart and in the soul. Notice some of the attitudes, the pride, indeed even the gross insult that comes without this fear. I just give you some examples of those that had little or no fear of God. Cain says to God, the first murderer, Cain, says to God, when challenged with regards to where Abel was, Cain had buried him, having slain him. And Cain says to God, am I my brother's keeper? How does one speak like that to Almighty God? How does one come before God and open your mouth with words like that? What irreverence! How did he get there so quickly? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, listen to the words about us and the challenges now. Things a few years ago people wouldn't dare to have uttered or said, even in their unbelief. There was some kind of respect and reverence. No, we're vast going to zero. Am I my brother's keeper? What's your attitude to God? Oh, I wouldn't say that to God. No, you just ignore him. You just don't take his word seriously. You just hear it. You go on your merry way. Am I my brother's keeper? Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? In his ignorance and in his pride, who's Jehovah that I should obey his voice? Oh, I hope you're not declining. I hope you're not on the slide because you haven't responded to the gospel. Because your heart is hardening day by day, as it were, week by week, month by month. You may not even imagine yourself or think it possible you would get to such an attitude or reach such a stage or state in life that you would speak like this or think like this. But it's so possible. Indeed, it's probable this is where you'll go. Maybe you've already uttered things that you wouldn't have uttered just a few years ago. But the world, as it were, about you, oh, it's got so hard. The fear of God has been ripped out of it, even our own land. How many of the God-fearers in any sense are left and exist? Have you got this healthy fear of God? Well, again, some New Testament perhaps examples now. John 9 verse 16. The Pharisee said, this man is not of God. Who are they speaking of? In their ignorance with regards to the Messiah, they're speaking of the Lord. This man's not of God. They see him merely as a man. Not sent from God. Still great fear, great reverence of Christ. Still take his word seriously. Let it speak to you. Let it challenge you. Take it in prayer back to him. Do you hear the words? And as it were, turn your back and get out of his presence as quickly as you can. Remember, you're hardening your heart. And the scripture says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. There's great danger. There's great peril. Your soul is in great danger. Oh, the Jews, and that probably means again, the leaders of the Jews said, now we know thou hast a devil. How do you speak like that to the Son of God? Only in ignorance. Only where there is no fear of the Lord. Only where there is a hardening of the heart, a despising of the truth, a rejection of the evidence before them. Why, said Christ, believe me for the work's sake? Now, the absence of fear of God comes from ignorance of him, his holiness, his power, and the extent of that power his perfection, his purity, and his holiness. Fear him, said Christ, who can destroy body and soul in hell. Have a healthy fear of God. Nor we suffer, alas, from an unhealthy fear of man, and the scripture says that the fear of man brings a snare. It paralyzes. We become less conscious of the soul, of the eternal state of spiritual truth. Oh, we're so conscious of the body and the body alone without this fear of the Lord, without this healthy gospel fear, without the truth embedded in the soul, without a sight of God, without the ability to commune with God. Well, what little fear that we have placed there by the goodness of God, kept there, sustained in your upbringing, in the Christian influences about you, they'll disappear, they will go. Of that there is no doubt. You know, we're very conscious of the body. We're very conscious of its needs, emotionally, corporeally, fleshly. We think these, and if we think these are under threat, well, because we're being challenged with the gospel, we think it's a price too much to pay. The gospel says, fear God, enter into a right relationship with him, seek his pardon, seek peace with him. Seek to walk in his ways, says the scripture. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Well, the obvious implication there is it won't be happy with you, and it won't be well with you, if you do not fear the Lord. No, this comes from a fear of the Lord. Well, the objection may be raised, I don't see Christians happy all the time. Look what the text says. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, verse 2, and it shall be well with thee. Are Christians happy all the time? What kind of happiness, we need to ask, is the text referring to? What kind of happiness does a Christian have? If you mean the feeling, a happiness feeling, well, no, we don't have that all the time. But you see, what we do have, that the unsaved don't have, is this deep-rooted knowledge based on God's revelation to us, that, as it finishes the text, it shall be well with thee. That sustains this conviction within. May not give us the feeling of elation, but it brings a deep, deep assurance and certainty that come what may, come our difficulties, our problems, we shall be sustained and it will all work out well. Can you imagine a soldier going into a battle, and no soldier would ever have this, but going into a battle with the absolute certainty of victory and a glorious, happy future? Every soldier that engages in a warfare, even if they have overwhelming advantages, of the enemy they're fighting knows that a bullet could come their way, a missile could drop where they are, they may never come out the other side of the war. But imagine a soldier that could be given the absolute assurance that through all the battles, the fights, the mud, the mire, the missiles, the bombs, that he was coming out the other side and everything would be well. What kind of feeling would that give him? What kind of conviction? What kind of assurance? Well, you see, that's the kind of assurance that the Christian has. This is the happiness that we have. And yes, it does give us times of elation and great joy, elevated joy, a foretaste of what we will experience and what we will have. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, says verse 2. What the Christian does will be blessed. Their labors will be blessed. Here it's spoken of in a material way, an agrarian society, laboring, plowing, sowing. They would eat the labor of their hands, those that feared the Lord. God would protect them. God would provide for them. He would bless the planting of the seed. He would reward them, as it were, those that feared him and walked in the fear of the Lord. We may not be blessed materially, but we have this spiritual conviction and confidence. We have a clear view of what's to come and the blessings to come, eternal blessings. We'll eat the labor of our hands. What we've done for him will be blessed. What we've done for him truly in accordance with his will, he will not forget. The cup of cold water given in his name shall in no wise lose its reward. If we don't have it here or are given it here, it's all in front of us. It's all before us. We will have the blessings. We will have this joy and this delight. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. You labor in holiness. You strive to be like Christ. You sow to the Spirit. You feed on the Scripture. You nourish your soul. You will be blessed. You look to walk with God to please him. You struggle, as it were, at times, through sickness and pain and disappointment, through weariness of body in your walk with the Lord and even service for him. What's coming? Blessing. Isn't there a joy already that we mentioned and spoke of this morning? The non-Christian knows nothing of these things. This is Christian experience. This is Christian living. Notice, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Well, we sing of that. We sing hymns, such as, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. See, Scripture brings the things of the deepest, the greatest importance before us. It says, think not merely of the body and little feelings of happiness, little feelings of good things. They're passing, they're fleeting. They can disappear in a moment. No, think of the deep joys, the lasting joy of union with Christ, of knowing the Lord, a conviction that you have peace with God. Christ has procured and secured that for those that trust in him. You belong to God. You're a child of God. You're one of the family of God. You're going to the home, the family home, the kingdom of Christ. Have you got that hope? You know, these beautiful truths, this beautiful experience, be still my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to the Lord to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still my soul, your best and heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. The psalmist says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Ways of satisfaction they will be. Ways of purity. Ways of peace. Ways of contentment. Ways of knowledge. The knowledge of the Lord. The soul enhancing knowledge of Christ and union with him. Have you this fear? Where does it come from? Well, I've already stated that. It's not something you can generate for yourself. It's a product of the Holy Spirit. And you only get the products of the Spirit, his produce, when you come savingly to Christ. When you look to him for acceptance with God and reconciliation to God. When you go to Calvary, as it were. When you see a suffering Savior and one atoning for sin, and you appeal to him for forgiveness and pardon, and you say, Lord, save me, receive me. If you're sincere, he will do that, and then he will give you the Spirit of God, and then you will have this wonderful, healthy life lifting, life-enhancing fear of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord that accompany it. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, not your own. Give up your own ways. Yield your life to Christ. Let him lead you. We made the point this morning, you know, the service of God isn't burdensome. It's not boring. It's not monotonous. Not if we love him. Not if we can do it unto him. The most menial task, if we were asked, and I give this silly illustration, didn't I? If the Queen asked you to make a cup of tea, it would put that cup of tea in a completely different context. A workmate may ask you and you say, what, me again? I've made the last six. You make the tea. Her Majesty come through the door. Excuse me, could you make me a cup of tea? Oh, I made the Queen a cup of tea. Son of God says, walk with me. Serve me. Know me. Almighty God had something for me to do. That's amazing. That he would even bother with the likes of me, the likes of you. Not only did he bother, he came from the glory of heaven. He came to this earth. He walked it. He suffered abuse, rejection, agony, anguish, the wrath of the Father poured out upon him to save sinners, that you might have amongst all the other blessings he has secured for his people, that you might have this fear that brings this amazing blessing and indeed promise of the Lord. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Oh, many don't want to fear God. They don't want to even think about him. But remember the consequences of no fear of God. Remember the ultimate consequence is the day of accounting and his sentence and banishment for all eternity.